Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome back to BS Talk episode 107. Irv, how you doing today?
I'm a little bit tired from yard work yesterday, but I'm gonna make it. How are you doing?
I'm tired as well. Just tired. I don't know. Just tired. do you want to share the story about what happened with your yard work, or are you gonna say that for a later day?
I'll share it with you real quick. So we got some snitches around here from the HOA that be driving around, posted up in your neighborhood, don't pay no mortgage, don't even live over here. Just be snitching, driving around all day. So on Wednesday, I was like, yo, I got to cut the grass. I got to do some stuff. Let me get it together. So I'm out there. For some reason, lawnmower don't work. I'm looking at what could be the potential issues. I've never taken apart a lawnmower engine. No need for me to front and act like I'm super handyman. I'm just somewhat of a handyman. So I understand how to take it apart. I don't understand how to put it back together, so I'm not going to fool with it. So I called my homie out here. My homie said, hey, man, I could probably help you out with that. You can borrow my lawnmower. I'm like, cool. He's like, just hit me up later this week and we can exchange stuff and you can take care of your yard. I was like, all right, cool. So I go to my email after that conversation. I look, the HOA, the same day my lawnmower is broken and I'm trying to cut it, has sent me I guess it's just a warning. I don't know. They called it something special when they little snitch email. It was like, basically you have your grass is too high and you have too many weeds on the side. If you've already taken care of this, you know, disregard this. If you haven't, please take care of this in a timely manner as soon as possible. Your friendly, whatever, like HOA office. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, do I just call them and be like, yo, my lawnmower's broke, so how about y'all come mow my grass? Like, you know, you start thinking of all this stuff in your head. Then you start asking who at their job is to get up and come snitch on you. Like, they parking at the university. Like they hiding around the corner.
Taps?
Yeah. I'm like, who is sitting there going, I'm gonna hit this neighborhood and I'm gonna see who grass is long up front. I'm gonna see who got a car parked out there a little bit too long. I'm gonna take some pictures and I'm gonna hit you up. I'm gonna snitch on you. Just, I wonder how much they get paid for snitching. How much is it to dime out somebody at work trying to come home and cut their grass? I'm getting too emotional into this because I'm like, who has the time? Like, you're supposed to be sending out, hey, you know, HOA meeting at this time. Hey, this is going on. You just send somebody out here, that's their job. They're making $13 an hour to snitch on you and drive around the neighborhood. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. Cam, go ahead. Let's get back on track because I could talk about this all show.
Well, I just got Irv all heated up about something that we're both tired over here. Irv's like, now you get me mad and tired.
Because I pay that money. You know, you got to pay an HOA fee at the beginning of the year, or you got to pay it all through the year. Y'all got big bread from me. Y'all come cut this grass. I didn't pay you to come snitch on me. I paid you to come do something about it. Come do something over here for me. Nobody got it. If y'all wanted that kind of money, then y'all should be able to offer a service. Don't ask me and I still got to pay it next year for them to just what? Tell on me? Hey, man, you can cut your grass. I know I didn't cut my grass. I live here. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cam. Go ahead.
All right. We're going to start with the Twitter polls this morning. All Twitter polls can be found at @BS_IrvinCam. All Twitter polls can be found at @BS_IrvinCam. Cam, along with our Instagram, @BS_IrvinCam. With that being said, can the Lakers make a comeback against the Nuggets? Check out our latest for our takes. That came back with 100% said no, they cannot. And I'm pretty sure that vote came after. I'm pretty sure they voted came after the games were all over. We'll get into that whole series in a little bit. Will the Miami Heat sweep the Celtics? Check out our latest episode. That came back with yes. At 83% of people said yes, it will be a sweep. That was also wrong. And they all, the 16% said Celtics would get one win. It looks like they have two now, and they're heading back to Miami. Do you think the Heat and Celtics, like, is Heat starting to get a little nervous? We'll probably talk about that later in the show as well. Where Joel Embiid comments about him and James Harden needing help in the playoffs, facts or fiction? Check out the latest episode. No, he 100% wrong. It says 100% came back, said no, he is wrong.
Thank you. The people have spoken. Joel, you wrong.
Out of the head coaches recently fired, who has the best chance of getting another head coaching position this upcoming offseason? Check out our latest episode. Monty Williams came back at 100%. So everybody believes in Monty.
Wait, have you seen who has the two candidates? I think they're finalists, actually, for the Suns job, or they're at least in the running.
No, I have not heard.
Rivers and Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it 100 with you. I'm going with Nick Nurse.
I think Doc Rivers needs to take a little break. But that's the thing, man. People are bringing they bring in their guys because they hear – No comment. We're going to move on. We'll move on.
Okay. I'm just saying, I'm saying if those are my two, if you're the general manager, James Jones, you got to bring in Nick Nurse. Because Nick Nurse has shown the ability to be able to like adjust in a game.
I'm surprised James Jones still has his job. And here's the reason why I believe.
Really?
Yeah. And not because he isn't good. I think he's phenomenal. I think he's really good. It's the fact that the new owners come in there, and when you have a new owner, they bring in their own people. They already brought in the basketball of operations, or in the year Isaiah Thomas, not the Celtics one, but the Pistons Isaiah Thomas, you know, from the Bad Boys there. But if you look how he's run organizations, it's never been great. And he's speaking to this owner, whispering in his ear. I'm surprised James Jones is still there. And if the owner's going to get what he wants in the end of the day, And also, second part of that is, aren't they calling them something else besides owners now? I forgot the other wording. Do you remember what they're calling them besides owners?
I don't know.
I think they tried it, and they're like, yeah, this ain't sticking. But I forget what they're supposed to call them. If you remember, hit us up. We'll appreciate it. Anywho, that's all for the Twitter polls this week. Again, you can find Twitter polls at @BS_IrvingCam. All right, Irv, MLB and NHL updates. Let's start with NHL. Florida Panthers, 8th seed going into the playoffs, faced the Boston Bruins first round. Boston Bruins had a record-breaking season, and the Panthers beat them. The next round, they faced another great team. I forgot off the top of my head, but they also beat them as well. Then they faced this last round, they faced the Hurricane. And they swept the Hurricane in 4. This 8th seed is doing what the Heat are doing down. Like, Miami's on fire right now. Not Miami, but all Florida's on fire. Because the Florida Panthers just swept the Carolina Hurricane, and they're on the way to the Stanley Cup. On the other side, you have Dallas and Vegas. Vegas took the first 3 games. Boom, 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 boom. 3-0. Dallas got 1 under the belt. They play again today at 5 p.m. Dallas, let's hope... Right now, I bet Panthers are hoping they make it a series because that way they get more skate time and fresh legs all over on the Panther side, but who knows what might happen there. But this hockey, it's been some good hockey these games. That Panthers game, although it was a sweep, they were all really close. Even when I tell you went into 4 overtimes, it wasn't like they had blown out games. It was always just a 1-goal like game they'd win by. So, and then that last game, they scored in the last 3 seconds to put them in a go-ahead goal. And it was a great series to watch. All right. That will do it for the NHL. We'll move to MLB. Do you have any updates on the NHL, Irv?
Bro, I have not watched not an NHL game. I should get them. I just ain't been interested. I've been all into the playoffs, the NBA playoffs.
All right, MLB. What I want to talk about this – I'm not going to go over the standings. What I want to talk about this week is these teams and owners kind of threatening that they're going to move out of certain cities. Let's start with the A's. The A's are the top dog right now to move to Vegas. And they've plotted out land. They plotted out this. They did this and that. And it all comes down to owners not wanting to pay to redo the stadium. These billionaire owners don't want to pay to redo the stadium. And they want the city to, like, put in money to redo the stadium. So it's like, you know, hey, owner, pay this amount of money and we'll have the city pay out of their taxes this amount of money and we'll have a new stadium. And the Oakland A's owner is like, no, we'll just move somewhere else. There's no fan base here anymore. So they're looking at Vegas. From what I've heard, that this is just a threat from all the reports, but it keeps getting more threatening as they keep kind of getting closer and closer to a deal there. So we'll see if they actually move. The latest one that might be moving is the Milwaukee Brewers out of Milwaukee, which is really interesting because the fans basically paid for a lot of their ballpark. It's called Miller Park, and the fans get a discount there. If you show them your ID and you live in a certain area in Milwaukee, you get a discount to their games because your taxes go to fund that stadium, or did go to fund that stadium. But their owner's looking to move out of there. I don't think that's going to happen at all. I get, again, another owner threatening, unless the city pays for a new stadium. And it's kind of like, hey, you're a billionaire owner, you should be paying for your own stadium. But I guess if they can get the city to partake in it and put money in it, then so be it. But that's another city that's kind of might be moving. I highly doubt that one. But the A's is, I still say A's won't move, but that one's closer to being, I guess, rational, not rational, but more understanding or more likely to happen. I'm trying to pick and choose my words, but it's too early and I can't remember what vocabulary words I want to use. So forgive me. But yes, that's going to do it for the MLB updates this week, just because I'm not going to go over standings or anything. Any questions on NHL or MLB? Or
do have a question about the Major League Baseball. So I get it. I get it from the owner's perspective. They're like, hey, you want the city to be a part of this. Now, I like what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing, or Milwaukee Brewers are doing, by giving incentives to, okay, if we partner with the city, then people in certain area codes that live around the area can get cheaper tickets by just showing, you know, driver's license, whatever form of ID. I'm cool with that. Maybe that should be more of a thing for sports in general.
I think that would be cool.
Because if your tax dollars are going towards it, why am I paying for this and I have to pay you tons of money on the side of it?
Yeah, because the thing is the MLB, their threat to move. They'll always be threatening to move. They'll be, no, we're going to be moving somewhere else. And they said, that city said they'll help us pay. Like Vegas, they really want a team there. They want a ballpark. They want to have all four sports teams there. Basketball, baseball, football, and hockey.
They want men's basketball. They have the women's team, yes, but they want a men's basketball team as well.
Yes, they want a men's basketball team there. So they're going to try to make this push for this effort. And that city is willing to pay for those taxes. By the way, you want to talk about taxes. You go to Vegas, you see the hotel room charge. You're like, oh, yeah, too bad. Then all of a sudden you see the taxes for the hotel room charge. That's like basically buying two more rooms. It's ridiculous there, man. It's not even worth going to Vegas just because of how much the fees are. The room rate fee, this fee, I spoke to you on the phone fee. I'm coming there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm coming there. Why are you charging me to stay at your place so much? Like, I'm going to lose my money at the table anyhow. So you're just taking it up front? Like, so, yeah. It's crazy. I guess if they got a ballpark there, I mean, I would see, fees might be even more. You might be paying for three rooms instead of just one.
Man, they need to make these tickets more affordable. Like, I completely understand that they're more like, hey, you know, it makes more sense to keep it at this price range or raise the price so you're still hitting your quota, or, you know, still in the green, or at least breaking even through ticket sales, hopefully. But, like, more people would go to games if they were cheaper. Now, obviously, like, bigger markets, the Lakers market, L.A. market, the New York market, even certain areas in Texas, they just going to get their money because they're just popular hotspots. But, man, like, you got to think about it. Like, man, can more tickets be cost affordable? Because season tickets or just even regular tickets shouldn't cost you, like, two paychecks, or you can't eat for 3 weeks until that next direct deposit hit. It's getting kind of ridiculous with these ticket prices.
So I agree with you to some extent, not with baseball though. Baseball's tickets are, you can get something really high up. Yeah. And for like what I'm looking at like right now is $7 for an A's game. If you want to go to an A's game, it's seven.
Where
bucks.
Are you sitting?
Yeah. You're sitting high up, but I guarantee you can sneak down. You can sneak down. Like at that game, they want you to sneak down. because that when they film, when the cam, think about this, when the cameras are on there and they're filming the games and they're, you know, to put it to their like the TV and everything, they want to show that the fans are at the games. So you might buy the $7 ticket, but they're going to want you to be in that front like first row or second row, because they want to show that fans are coming to the games. Right now there's more seagulls at the games than fans. AZ. So why I agree with you with some sports, like I would say certain NBA games, of course, they're going to cost more, but football is a prime example of them just, I mean, supply and demand though. And it's capitalism at its finest, but yeah, there's some football games out there that I'm like, why are they charging so much money? And then you look at how much, you know, they pay players and everything else that goes into it. So, yeah, I don't like, I agree with you at some games, like you were talking about, especially football, but for baseball, it's, I mean, I'm looking at it, a good series right now, San Diego and New York. New York's, you know, high commodity team. That get, and it's in New York, and that's $52 for the cheapest ticket. So I mean, that's the cheapest. I think it could be a little bit lower as well. So, but yeah, that will do it for MLB and NHL updates. I'm ready to go to the next topic. Oh no, I'm not. No, I just read it. I'm not
All right, so I'm going to introduce the
ready.
next topic, man. So we're going to the NBA. So Lakers get swept by the Nuggets, and Celtics are fighting for their playoff lives every game. We got game six, Celtics versus Heat tonight. Who wins, Cam?
All right. So I took Celtics in the series, so I gotta stick with them. I gotta stick with the Celtics. That's what my gut's telling me. But my brain's saying it's gonna be Heat. I think Heat win tonight and clean it up. But for the sake of, I gotta stick with my picks. I gotta say Celtics. I'm not cheering Celtics on. I actually kind of cheering the Heat on, just because I want to see Jimmy take that team to the finals. But yeah, I'm gonna go Celtics here. Irv?
I'm be real with you. I think the Heat, I think Jimmy Butler's comments of we're gonna win the next game, I think that echoed into the locker room. And from what you can see from what the other players, how they respond when Jimmy's fired up or when Jimmy says something, I think they all got his back, whether you hurt, whether you whatever it is, you're gonna leave it all on the line tonight. So I think the Heat get it done. Whether there are some of their key players that are out, can play or not, because I know Gabe Vincent was still a question mark for today. I don't think he'll play, but I think they get it done tonight. I don't think it'll be pretty. I don't think it'll be a blowout or anything like that, but I do think it'll be an ugly, grimy game. And I think the Celtics bad habits pick back up again. I think these other two games, they shot the ball well. The Celtics are a good team. I've never said they're just trash. I just said they don't look like a championship team in regards to how they play defense, closing out games, and their offense gets stifled in that isolation. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown dribble it out for like 5 or 10 seconds, 7 seconds, whatever, on a 24 shot clock and put somebody in a bad position. I think the Heat take advantage of that tonight because I think those guys try and do too much to push it to a game seven. So that's my take on it. Heat tonight going to the finals against the Nuggets. Now, Cam, here's where it's gonna hurt. Give me your analysis of that Lakers and Nugget sweep. Just talk to me a little bit about it.
So the Lakers Nuggets sweep. Man, you know, it was, in my opinion, it's still a better series than the game we're seeing, just because Lakers always kept it close with the Nuggets. It's one of those, the Nuggets just are a better team. They were a better team. They played better than us. We kept it close. But Bron, you saw in game four, he went out there in the first half, gave it his all, but people are like, he didn't show up the second half. I've been hearing that. Have you heard that at all? Like, LeBron didn't show up the second half.
I've heard nothing but blasphemy. Nothing,
Okay.
nothing but nothing but blasphemy. He's 30. What is he?
That's
37,
what I'm saying. He's
38?
39, I keep saying. He's 39. I'm
Wait,
32. Get out of bed.
is he 32? Is he 39?
No, I think he's 38.
38? I was gonna say, I believe he's
Yeah, he's
38.
38. He's 38. I've been saying 39.
I was bl like the sports analyst. This is how you know LeBron is great. When sports analysts are like, man, he showed up for that first half. That second half, you could just see Father Time went in. You could see his legs were run down. Of course, anybody who's given that kind of effort should be that kind of tired. Whether you're 38 or 22, it don't matter. You giving all you got to keep your team into it. You should be tired. Like Anthony Davis had 21 points, and I was like, you needed 35. You needed 30 or 40. You needed 30 or 40 with him. You needed to have between y'all 75 to, 80 points. Just go crazy. And I just didn't get I could see Anthony Davis was trying to do everything defensively and offensively, but it was like at some point, attack the Joker. Attack him. I don't, even if he's made, the Joker's making outstanding plays on defense, then you know, hey, you live with tipping your hat. Hey, he just showed up defensively tonight and went hard. But you got to go after him. Whether it's a switch with Rudy Achimura, somebody got to go after him. And I feel like the Lakers at the later half of games, when they up by 15 or they up by 8 or up by 10, they start wanting to shoot all these threes. The Nuggets ain't packing the paint that crazy. They're showing and going, but they ain't packing it super crazy. Or the Lakers just fall out of rhythm somehow offensively. And you just like, how? Attack the basket, draw some fouls, do something, but like, don't just settle for jump shots. So,
yeah, Rudy.
But you're right. But you're, I just want to say, you're right. The Nuggets were a better team, though. They were a better team for the series for this.
I'll give the Nuggets better team for the series. Man, it was, but watching LeBron do his thing in the last game, it was like, wow, how, like, at his age, it's just incredible. I text you during this. I said, our big men are letting us down. And specifically, we know who, Anthony Davis. And during the game, and it wasn't because he just kept missing bunnies. It wasn't his defense. It was like he couldn't grab the ball sometimes, and it would go out on his hands, or it would be deflected off his hands, and the other team would get it. It felt like he couldn't catch the ball, like he had butter popcorn on his hands or something. And but there's just the little bunnies he kept missing. And I was just sitting there like, come on, man. Like, if that's the kind of stuff I need you to make, I need you to show up. You could have at least had 30 with all the little bunnies that you missed. And it just sucks that it didn't happen. And, you know, you can't be 100% every single – you can't have your best game every single night. But, you know, when it's crunch time, you would expect your big superstars athletes to show up. And that's what we brought you over here for. And here we have an aging 38 LeBron going out there, and you saw him give him his all. And I don't care if people are like, he didn't show up the second half. No, the rest of the team need to show up, because you could see that the defense change to where they were focusing more LeBron. And they were like, they made switches and they made matchups. The fact that we had Tristan Thompson come in, and I sat there like, finally, we got somebody that's pushing around the other guy, like pushing around people and starting to do his thing. Like, his 10 minutes that he played were efficient. They were efficient, in my opinion. Yes, he was on defense, he's not the best. And then on offense, like, it's not the greatest either, but he gave you 10 minutes of there that were straight heart. You know what I mean? And you could tell it was he's trying out there. And that's what I failed to see. Rui, yeah, I think he got cold. You missed some shots. That's going to happen. 3 for 12. That sucks. It sucks that, you know, shots weren't falling. Same with Schroeder. I know shots weren't falling. 5 for 13. But I think we should have at least taken one. And it's just unfortunate we didn't. That we couldn't even get one under them. But
we had two. We should have split the series at Denver. The first game, I get crowd into it, all of that. But they should have had the second one. There's times when you watch the Lakers in this series go up, and you're like, okay, they in rhythm. They and don't see Denver do anything. Like, they do personnel changes, obviously. You know, they bring in some more defensive guys, or they do something else. But it's like you just see the Lakers fall apart on defense. You know, they're not talking. They're not talking about who's in personnel-wise. It's almost like you watch when as soon as the Nuggets make a switch in personnel – it's like the Lakers forget all the defense assignments. So you got guys like Bruce Brown getting to the basket easy, cutting there easy. You got guys like Aaron Gordon who, you know, bump down and maybe play a little bit more or bump up and play small forward in it because they brought in Jeff Green. Jeff Green is playing power forward, or they're just able to be versatile. They just start letting him get a little bit loose, and not even crazy loose, but, you know, loose in a sense of he's getting momentum back for the team. The team is starting, you know, they starting to make shots. They starting to get back into it. Jamal Murray was just absolutely insane. You tip your hat to Jamal Murray. He had nothing but fire. He gave nothing but flames. Every game he flamed us. But you look at the Lakers and you go, man, y'all just like, y'all get up and it's something just like something go off. Like you get lackadaisical or like mid-range shots don't become available no more. It's either a long three or we looking at trying to force our way to the basket, but and not in a, hey, we backdoored them, we screened them, you know, we trying to get an easy layup, we trying to go for a contested dunk or layup or something like that. It's like they just like, okay, I guess I'll just kick it out, take a long three. Like they just forgot like a whole offensive sequence or something of that nature. So
we didn't even mention, like, D'Angelo Russell didn't even show up. D'Lo did not show up for the series at all. He started coming off the bench, and his shooting just was not there the first two or three games. And I think bringing him off the bench was a smarter move. But yeah, he just, you know, at the end of the day, they are just the better team.
But they didn't do that till what, the third game? Was it the third or fourth game? They decided to move him to the bench and start Schroeder.
I think it was fourth game.
Like, it's too late. It's too, like, all these adjustments could have been made early to give you a fighting chance. You know what I mean? After game two, you should have been like, okay, cool, we lost two in a row.
Oh, no, it was just the fourth game they moved him there.
Yeah, so see, that's what I mean. Like, this, that's too late. If you see D'Lo is getting cooked and Jamal dropping 37, 28, almost a 40 piece. Like, there was no reason to wait till the fourth game. At the second game, when we didn't split it, when we going back home, hey, Schroeder, you getting a start. Austin Reeves, you in the lineup. Bron, you playing small forward. Rui, you getting a start. AD, you get the start. Or if you like, hey, rotation-wise, get Lonnie Walker off the bench. He's athletic. He can at least run with Jamal Murray. Maybe he don't play the greatest defense. You know what I mean? I'm not calling him a lockdown defender, but you got a guy who's just as athletic as Jamal Murray. And he's proven in the Golden State series, he knocked down some shots. So you like, I just didn't like the rotation. I didn't like the fighting chances we didn't have. It was like, we're going to stick to it. We're just going to stick to what we're doing. And it's like, no, these are the playoffs. Don't stick to what you're doing. Don't stick to this right now. Make some adjustments. They know what you're doing. They wrote your play when you wrote your play. Switch.
Yeah. Also on that Denver Nuggets team, I want to give Thomas Bryant, he played a good amount of games this year for us. I'm kind of glad if anybody's moving on, it's at least him moving on. Obviously, I want it to be the Lakers, but, you know, ex-Laker, he played 41 games for us this year when AD was out for a bit.
Yeah, he played well.
We traded him. You know that, Irv, when we traded him, I was hurt. But then I saw we got Mobamba, and I was happy. And, you know, Mobamba didn't even play 1 minute in this series. So, Thomas Bryant, congratulations. Go get that ring. I mean, it's going to be mostly the Joker. I don't think you're going to see any playing time. Did you also know this, that DeAndre Jordan's on that team?
Yeah.
The only reason I know this is because I was watching the game. I see him come up, dab somebody up, and I go, wait a minute, you're still in the league?
Yeah, dog.
That was my first thoughts, was this man still in the league?
I only got one problem with the Joker, though. Your brothers can't be being disrespectful to Jack Nicholson now.
I think Jack and them were both going at it.
That's fine. I'm just saying.
I think it was a little banter.
It's an old man, bro. That's an old man. What are you saying, Cam? So you had a game. So 85-year-old, maybe 90-something-year-old man over there. What is you saying to him? If you had to talk smack to him, what is a joke? Or what you going to throw at him?
I'd be like, can you see the game? Do you know who you're looking at? That's LeBron, not Kobe. No, let me take that back. That's LeBron, not Magic. That ain't the cap. Like, that's AD. ain't the 80s, man.
they was like yelling. You could see him after they was like yelling at him and pointing. Yeah, I was like, that's Jack Nicholson? Bro, y'all too young to be messing with this old man. Leave that old man alone. Like, what? Tip your hat to the old guy just for being there. I was like, what disrespect? Was like, you better hope you can see him next year. I was like, what are they saying to him?
Like, I'm not gonna lie, but Jack has a reputation of one. Yes, he's older, but he still has a reputation talking crap too.
Yeah, I'm not so. But most old people do. Most old people say whatever's on their mind.
This was before he was really old. Crazy. This was before he was really old.
In Hollywood for that. Yeah. I get you for that one, but I'm just saying that you had a game, sporting event, 80 something year old master. Start dancing, you're just like, what? I don't even know if I can say nothing. I'd be like, okay, sir. All right, sir. Like, he might not even see next year's season. He might not be around for next season. So I'm just saying, I'm gonna keep it respectful, is what I'm saying. I'm gonna just keep it respectful and not go there with him. I'm just not, because like, I don't want to say something, it'd be like, oh, you too old. You like you said, you don't know who's out there anymore. It's like, why you got floor seats and you still asleep at the game? Like, wake up. Oh, like, you can be saying all this next year, he ain't even here. You like, oh my God, that was the last thing I said to that old man. before he went. Jesus help me.
Yeah. So good luck to the Nuggets the rest of the series. We'll see what happens. I'm ready for the next topic, Irv.
All right. So jumping into the next topic, we're going to stay in the NBA. Give me your thoughts on what's going on with Ja Morant. Because, like, it's getting a little wild. It's getting too wild now. Like, I think it's his character. I just think this is him right now. I think this is his true character. I think this might be who he's always been. It's just he didn't have the limelight as much. He was a star, you know, upcoming. But now that he's a superstar, super max contract, all that other stuff, I think now it's being more focused in on him. And I think this has been part of his character for a while. Because, like, you don't just all of a sudden, I feel like, get to the NBA and now this is what's going on. Like, I feel like this might have been something in high school. Because you think about it like this, they're bringing up old high school stuff from Ja Morant. He's a kid. But you wonder why he went to a lesser college, in a sense. Maybe those colleges that saw he was athletic, he was physically gifted, could jump out the gym, were just like, nah, man, that kid attitude. Something is off with that one. So they didn't recruit him. So go to the other school, to the smaller school, because they need athletes. They like him. We need a star. We need somebody who, you know, may have some issues, but they'll play, you know, they can play well. So he goes to small school, becomes the number one pick, or first round pick, I should say, because Zion went number one. You know, everyone's like, you know, this kid from Murray State, you know, he's getting the hype is starting to build, but, you know, no one's really taking notice of this. No one's really seeing who, like, following him around, seeing what he's about. They're like, oh, he's got a kid already. You know, he's a young, mature male man. You know, he'll come in the league and start. They traded Mike Conley. They did all this movement for him to make him feel like you're the number one. You're our future. He gets there and he's balling, and you don't hear all of this. But you probably are not seeing it because the media is not really focused in on him. Now he's got that extension. He's an all-star. All this other stuff. Like, they talked about a lot of pressure that he might be feeling from it, and that might be true too. But I feel like this is character. I feel like this is like his actual character. Because I feel like the first time it happened, he got in trouble, he would have been straight from there. It'd have been like, okay, cool. Like, I can't be acting like this. Now it's just like, who am I with? Am I going to get caught? So I'll let you, we can go back and forth, but I'll let you talk about your part of this.
So mine's more of like what he's been posting on Instagram as of lately. His like goodbye. It's like he's saying goodbye to people. Like he's gonna do something that's crazier than like sometimes. It sounds like he's gonna try to. What it making it sound like is like he's gonna die soon. Like he's either gonna take his own life or something's gonna happen like that. And I'm not sure if he's trying to portray that or what he's doing on his Instagram and stuff like that. But it's a bit different. I'm not sure what the messaging there was about. Anywho, if he is depressed and going through depression, we're all human beings. No amount of money can fix that right away or anything like that. Like I hope he gets the help and he seeks the help he needs. Because all those signs of him, what he's doing is attention seeking. You know, everything he's doing, like it's what like what NBA players, somebody said the other day, like a couple weeks ago, like, hey man, we all have guns. We all have guns. But we just don't flash them on Instagram like that. Like, we don't, and he, it seems like Ja is one that flashes it for attention, whether it be good or bad intention. And it's, and then same with the Instagram story. It's all based on attention. He wants the, like, the media to recognize him. And I just hope that it's not something more serious, like depression that he's going through. Like, he feels alone. That's why he's seeking for this attention. Of what's out there. Now that's just one theory. And that's something I was kind of reading into, like, hey, why isn't people saying this? Like, why isn't people saying like, hey, there's a lot of mental health illnesses out there. Maybe he and depression going around. We know that we know that DeMar DeRosa has talked about it. K-Love has talked about it. They've seen it. The anxiety builds up. K-Love's had to stay out of some games because of that anxiety. And I'm wondering if Josh starting to experience the same thing where he goes home and he just feels alone sometimes. And he's like, how do I can do this? And he hangs out the wrong people, the wrong crowd, so on and so forth. Now, on the other side, I kind of like, we all know T, and I don't bring his family or his father into this by any means, but I am. Because we all know his father sits courtside at his games, correct? I know you're muted, my bad.
Yeah, right? For sure. Yeah, he definitely does. He's definitely his biggest fan, one of his biggest fans.
And he also is the one that gives Ja the most, like, when he tells Ja if Ja has a good game, because that is all right. He never gives him full credit or anything like that. And it's more of a kind of a father kind of jokingly manner. But at the same time, T's always in the first row. He always wants the camera on him as well. It could be, you know, it could be genetics where they just want to be in the starlight, you know?
They're narcissistic?
That too. Yeah.
I was like, it sounds like narcissism to me. Like,
it's a little like narcissistic, but...
He better stop playing in that realm then.
But
you in Memphis, dog. What?
I would say narcissism is a bit further than what I was going to say. I was just going to say, you know, a little bit, you know, ego and just want to be in the starlight. Because there could be somebody that likes that ego and in the starlight, but also gives a lot and gives away a lot and stuff like that. And isn't like all about themselves. But what I'm seeing from a boat, like not from Teeks, I don't know, but from Jaw, it's more of like him. So it could be a bit narcissistic. What I'm saying is it seems like they both want the limelight. And it could be
it's a poor way to get it, bro.
But it's a personality thing. It leads down genetically.
I get it, but like this is my thing with it even more. Like coming from the community we come from, and if you have an opportunity, like you saw us, I don't know if you know who his name is Simba. It's SYMBA. He's a rapper. Mm-hmm. He had a message to Ja Morant. He was rapping to him about everything. So Simba from Oakland, I have his album. His album is fire, it's dope. But, you know, he trying to spit game to him, like, cut it out. Because, like, you playing with the wrong group of people. Like, it'd be different if Ja Morant was, like, got a bunch of different women and he's kind of being a womanizer. And you're like, hey, man, you need to settle down in regards to all the women you making, you know, being with or drinking or something like that. But he's perpetuating a violent stigma of being a gangster.
Yeah.
And it started with one thing, which was the whole, like, the beam on the Indiana Pacers, the light that was being shined out any other players in that car that he was supposedly in her truck. Then you get a couple months later, him in a club, shirt off or strip club, whatever, gun posted, chains on. Like, you in one of the roughest parts of the United States right now in Memphis. And you running around, you probably got a bunch of money on you at sometimes. You know what I mean? You probably got your daughter with you or your dad with you or somebody. Like, is it going to take you losing one of them for you to understand where you at and who you messing with? Because this is not it's a serious matter because his life is at stake, but other people's lives are at stake. So him saying goodbye to them and doing all of that, I get it. But it feels like a PR scam to me because he already went to like counseling or whatever, right?
Yeah, but for how, like, that was just for, PR purposes.
But when he got back from it, did anybody notice that he was still singing rap lyrics to his teammates in the middle of interviews and all of that other stuff? Which was from a song, I think they were saying it was a young NBA, young boy NBA, it was a rapper. And I'm confused because I'm like, if you're supposed to be at a rehab center, you know, and you just got out, you would want to be on your best behavior.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. I feel like it's part of his character. It's almost, it almost feels like, this is just from my experience, so I could be completely wrong. I'm not saying this is what it is. But remember how people from Idaho, or not Idaho, people from California, that were nice guys would come to Idaho and they were African American, they were more African American, whatever you want to say. They was young men from the urban cities, inner cities. Then all of a sudden everybody wearing rags and gang banging and all this. And you like, where are you from? Bro, you are not a gangster. Go sit down. Why are you out here perpetuating this in front of these folks? But that's not, you won't do this at home because you go back to California and see them and they quiet as can be.
Yeah.
Neutral colors, not talking crazy. So for me, I think it's a character thing. I think he got the money, got the clout now. Now he want to perpetuate this gangster role. But for what? They lose friends every day and family every day. So
it's got to be also, he's 23. It's got to be a maturity thing in there too. You got to throw that in there because he's a bit younger. So
I could throw a maturity thing in there, but you came from a community. If you really came from that, you would know, like, it's not nothing to play with. It's not something you want to perpetuate and you want to run around with. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like it's a character thing. He got the money, so now he want to do all of this. But a lot of these people, you better talk to some people because they'll tell you real quick. They lose people before and realize how this ain't fun no more. Man, I'm over this. Like, not because I'm trying to be rude or disrespectful about the Ja Morant situation. It's a very serious situation, but we can go on and on about mental health. Maybe it's that his character, if he needs to grow up more. We both have different viewpoints on it. So I think that we should just go to the next topic, and we hope for the best for John Morant. We hope that he gets it figured out and not has to pay any serious consequences. Besides the games he finna lose, because he finna lose them games. He gonna lose them. Adam, he finna take them games. He finna lose some money. But other than that, we hope nothing else happens to you. You learn from your suspension, you move on happy. Damn.
I got one more thing. Because you said that we disagree on this, and we somewhat disagree. We agree upon one thing, and that's, hey, whatever you're doing, like, you shouldn't be doing this. And we agree upon that. But different situations about how it's going about. Do you think that's because of our experiences growing up and our experiences, but also where we grew up? Because where we grew up is 100% different. 100% different.
Yeah.
It might be in the same area, but it's 100% different what we both had to experience growing up.
You're 100% correct in that. There's the difference experience that we've had growing up in different situations, neighborhoods, however you want to say it. Also, different experiences going to college and seeing different things. I think obviously your experience and your experience shapes your viewpoint. So that's where we're pulling from. I'm not a doctor. You're not a doctor. We don't know that. But of course, we're going to differ on this in certain situations. I don't think either one of us are wrong. I just think it's like you said, our experience and how we grew up and what you're alluding to is what we can kind of look through those lenses and see this is what might be going on with John Morant. But neither one of us are doctors. Only he knows what's really going on with him and how to fix it or how to get assistance for it. So we just hope for the best for him.
Cool. I'm ready for the next topic.
All right. So staying within the NBA. So will LeBron James retire this offseason, Cam? And this is another part of the question. What can the Lakers do to keep him from retiring? So give me your thoughts if he'll retire and if the Lakers can keep him from going that route.
He ain't retiring. We all know this. He ain't retiring. Like, I know he said something at the press conference. Remember, emotions are really high after that and everything's going on. You don't think by the halfway through the summer he's going to start getting the itch again to come out and play. Like, he's just playing with all you. He's just playing with all y'all. He's trying to get the media to look at him, so on and so forth. He'll come back. He's going to play. What do the Lakers need to do to keep him from retiring? I mean, you got to sign some people back. You got to sign some people back. And then you got to sign some more people to fill in some spots. I know that Draymond Green's going to be a free agent. Like, are we going to get Draymond? Or who are we bringing in? Who are we bringing in to keep him? Because I think we have one more year of LeBron. His contract will be up. I don't want us to extend him. I hope we don't extend him. And I want to see if we could get one more year out of him to ride into, to make a championship run. And if we get there, great. If not, hey, we tried. And then we part ways with everybody and everything. I think he's going to come back for one more year to be a Laker. Now, I think he really wants to play at this end, Bronny. I don't know if Bronny wants to play with him because we haven't heard much of his son talk about this at all. We've only heard about we've only heard about dad talk about this. And if you're a 18-year-old kid, I don't like that's great. I want to maybe play with my dad, but not like think about when you're going to a road game. If you're going to Orlando, you're like, yeah, we're going to Orlando, or if you're going to Miami. What are you going to do in Miami? You're going to probably, you're 18, 19. You're like, okay, let's go to the club. All of a sudden you're sitting there at the club and all of a sudden you look to your right. There's daddy. nobody wants to see that. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So we're only hearing, LeBron James's side, not Bronny's side of the story. You know,
poor Bronny, he's just trying to live his life.
Also on top of all that, I think the second Bryce, I think his name is. I think Bryce is going to be better than I think he's going to be better than Bronny. And we shouldn't be compare the two, but for basketball wise, I think Bryce he's bigger. I don't think he's already 6'6", I believe, and he's still in high school.
He's like a 6'6" sophomore or freshman or sophomore. I think he's a sophomore now.
Yeah, he's going to continue to grow. Obviously, will he have the same athleticism as his dad? I mean, who knows?
It's looking like it. Have you seen him play?
Yeah, I've seen a little
bit. It's looking like this one right here.
He's looking good. So, back to the original thing. He's getting one side of the story. I think LeBron does play with this kid one season, and that That's it. I don't think it's going to be with the Lakers. It's whoever Bronny gets drafted by, and that's why his draft stock's higher. But I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with everything. Let's just make one more run at it. One more year, one more run, bring in the pieces you need, do what you have to do. And then at the end of this year, it's time to demolish this roster. We got to start over again. And that's just my opinion. Unless you get a superstar, unless you get Dame over there, unless you get Dame or somebody somehow, then we can start doing
something. Agent too, though, and you never know.
But yeah, like, you see my point.
How much longer he's got, yeah.
They're talking about getting Trae Young. Have you heard of this? Trae Young coming there?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I would. The only thing I would say is who's on the back end of that roster as his shooting guard, yeah. And who's on the back end of that defense? Is it Anthony Davis going to stay, or is he going to want to get out, go somewhere like Chicago, like go back to the crib, or look for a new home? Because Trae Young is like Isaiah Thomas, where he needs a good group of guys who can defend around him. Because it's just his height; it ain't got nothing to do with his heart, nothing to do with his character. He's just a smaller dude, and guys are going to take advantage of that if he gets switched on and he in the post. Like, yeah. It is what it is. It can be no switches with Trae. Trae just has to be one-on-one with some guy. And hey, man, unfortunately, you gotta take Dame the whole time, because you and Dame match up better than you and some 6'7", 6'8", winger guard.
So Anthony Davis's contract, he has also 2023, 2024 under his belt. He's getting $40 million next year. And then the year after is $43 million, but a player option. And remember, so it might be $43 million for 1 year, and I can see him opting into that, but at the same time, if he wants to, and he'll be 31, and if he wants to extend that even longer, he might look for some more longevity. So why that might play 43, he might look elsewhere and be like, well, this team's offering me 150 for 4 years, because he'll be 31 then. Yep. So we'll see what happens. I say again, you have 1 year left, in my opinion.
Question. I read an article from ESPN, and they were saying it's really between D'Lo, Hachimura, and I forgot the other guy. I don't know if it was Schroeder or Vanderbilt, but it's between those two guys about who they should keep and pay. Because obviously you need to keep and pay Austin Reeves. Like, y'all got, like, if they let him walk, that's going to be ridiculous. Because, like, no offense, Mikal Beasley, y'all should let walk. I get it. Mikal Beasley is supposed to be a 3-and-D dude or a 3-point shooter. He didn't do nothing for us. I don't think he's going to do nothing for us next year. Let him go ahead and slide, unless he's willing to take a vet min or something like that to be a role player, backup guy, occasionally start due to injury or just rest. But no, do not keep him. So are you taking D'Lo or are you taking Hachimura if you had to pick between those two? Because I can't remember the third guy. I should have wrote it down. My bad.
Just go over the cap. Just do what the Warriors do. Sign them both, and then you can trade them later on. You remember, you want to get assets back, in my opinion. You don't want them to walk for free if they're worth something. So D'Lo is worth something. Whether he had a good series or not, he's still he's 27 next year. He's young. He's becoming more mature. I try to sign them both. But if you're giving me the option, I have to pick one. I'm going Rui. I just like his game a little bit better. The way he can guard bigs and small. Yes, he's a streaky shooter. Hopefully we can work on that, but I think there's more potential there with Rui than D'Lo. What's your take on that?
I'm taking Rui, but I don't think he's a streaky shooter. I think he's a good mid-range shooter, and I think what the Lakers want for LeBron and AD and those guys is to have all guys who can stretch the floor, and they want guys who are in the positive three-point shooting range, which Rui was. He wasn't a terrible three-point shooter by any means. It's just his game is one of those games you got to kind of let him do. If we talk about LeBron James needing to save legs in the season, and, you know, he can still make his all-star teams, he can still give us some vintage games, he can still be LeBron. I think if you put Rui Hachimura in the starting lineup, you get a defender and a shooter, or you get a defender and a guy who can create offensively. But I think it has to be AD Rui, with Bron being sprinkled in everywhere as your options for running plays. I know it sounds stupid because you're like, it's LeBron James. He's one of the greatest offensive players, one of the greatest players ever played a game. But when you're trying to save legs and you're trying to get a guy to stay in rhythm with a starting group and a lineup, you got to make it to where that guy can be on the floor, but has the minimalist job possible. So like LeBron coming up, initiating offense, great. He's initiating it for Rui. He's initiating it for for the first option, Anthony Davis, but doesn't mean he has to be the guy to go score. It just means, hey, maybe we see LeBron averaging 10, 15 assists. We see some Chris Paul type LeBron where he's getting 16 points, 10 rebounds, 16 assists, 15 assists, or 10 assists. Because you're like, man, his points per game are down horribly. But you're like, yeah, but they're winning more. And look at the other guys that are flourishing. And LeBron doesn't have to do as much. So when we get to the playoffs, we get that cold-blooded LeBron. We get that killer instinct LeBron. We get that LeBron that's like, I'm going all the way to the championship. These legs is fresh. I'm counting down the games that I got because I got the fresh legs for it. So that's my thing. I would like to keep Vanderbilt. I'm going to be real with you. I don't know if he's willing to take a backup role.
Well, he's under one more year.
I was going to say, it says... He's
under one more year. We have him for one more year.
Team option.
Not from what I'm reading. This is... he's under 23-24 contract for $4.6 million. Okay. Vanderbilt is. And there's no team option. He's an unrestricted free agent after next year.
Cool. So I'm glad we're going to keep him. And then we got to look at keeping Austin.
What about Reeves. Dennis? What about Dennis?
Nah, Dennis, your time is up. Thank you for your services.
You cutting ties there?
I'm not cutting ties. I'm like, if you want to run it back for a cheaper price, I'm good. But you know, Dennis is inconsistent too sometimes, especially in critical moments. Like, he's had big moments. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. Sometimes, Dennis, you'd be like, what are you doing? What is you doing? And I don't feel like I don't think he wants to. I think he wants to be a starter. If Dennis is like accepted a role player position and wants to be a role player, I'm more than willing and happy to have him stay with the Lakers as a fan. But if he's like, I want to be the starter, I want to be this, I want to get paid this amount, I get it. You got to say what you want, but that might be a better option just to let him walk again.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I really think that, I there you go. I think we bring in Rudy again. I think he'll be back. Vanderbilt's under contract. James is definitely going to be back. I don't believe he will retire. Anthony Davis is back, and you got to build upon that. At the end of the day, if you just bring in a bunch of people that are signed to a 1-year deal as well, they can what's going on?
All right, so I'm out of my mind. So I was sitting here thinking about guys, and I was like, yo, Lord forgive me. Y'all forgive me out here. I'm just sick in the head sometimes. I was like, what if LeBron go ahead, call Alex Caruso. Say, Alex, you happy over there? Because that sounds like y'all finna blow up. You blow up, just come on back to L.A. You got your money with him. Just come back to L.A. I got a starting point guard spot for you. You play next to Austin Reeves. How many years has it been since we seen a starting white backcourt? What was the last year we seen a starting white backcourt?
It had to be with Kirk Heinrich.
No, because I think Ben Gordon started next to him?
Ah, that's right. Ben Gordon was there. But they also had what's his name? Mike Dunleavy, right? That was there?
She's a small forward point guard or small forward shooting guard.
Yeah, that shooting guard, and then you had Heinrich running point.
No, he wasn't. It was Kurt Heinrich, Ben Gordon, Mike Dunleavy, and was it Luol Deng? And Luol Deng actually might have been a small forward.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Luol Deng.
So I'm sorry. I know that's racial. I apologize. I was laughing. I was like, when was the last time we seen an all starting white backcourt? But okay. I started laughing. That's why I'll type it in. Your Google search is going to be effective. I was just thinking about that. I'm like, I would like AC, Austin Reeves, LeBron, Rudy Hachimura, Anthony Davis. I'll roll with it. Where's the 2K? Where's the 2K simulator at? Let me go grab that real quick and see what the record would be on 2K. I'll run a simulation with the starting lineup.
That's so funny, though, that you mentioned it that way. I don't know. Yeah, of course, nothing's going to pop up with that.
Google was like, I'm not answering that. I'm not answering that.
That's a tough
look. I don't think LeBron retiring either. I think there are going to be some offseason moves. I think he'll be pushing the envelope for them to get, like you said, keep guys. Because I know he's probably got some familiarity with guys where good spots they could be in, guys who played well that he's like, yo, One thing LeBron do, he'll get you paid. Tristan Thompson paid, Kevin Love paid. Some other guys he got paid that I don't remember off the top of my head, but he got them paid. So Norris Cole, Mario Chalmers, I'm tripping. I act like I didn't know some names. But I don't think he's going nowhere. I think LeBron's going to stay. I think they're going to retool that offense or that team. And Darvin Ham hopefully can get it going off the jump.
Yeah, I think that if you're going to rebuild this, you got to just do it 1 year. Just do it for 1 year because you only have LeBron for 1 year. So you got to think about that. And then, you know, rebuilding process, and we got to go through our tough times again.
Do you use a superstar? Do we use the pick? Do you think they trade and use the pick for anything? Because they can clear room if they don't sign guys. Or if they do sign guys, they can still clear some room, but they got that number one pick still in their back pocket. They could dangle out there with somebody.
You hold on to picks and you trade these pieces. And when you trade these, like, say it doesn't work out. Like, if we had a really bad year, then we trade them away and try to get picks back. And then if you have people that are signed longer, like, if you do, you got to use your assets. So you got to sign your best players, in my opinion. So I would see assigning D'Lo and trying to do a trade, sign and trade and stuff like that. But yeah, that's all I got for this one. Let's go with the next topic.
All right, you got it.
All right, NFL. Where should DeAndre Hopkins go in his free agency?
Who is it?
What?
I said, who is it? Because you're like,
DeAndre Hopkins. My bad. I'm sorry. In my head, it sounded like I said it right. DeAndre Hopkins.
Where you think?
So they're saying 9 teams right now, and it's all up to him where he wants to go. But I was
true.
Let's look at this really quick. On this list, please. I don't know why ESPN said there's 9 teams. That's bottom 2 teams. I'm gonna tell you right now, he's not going. Falcons is one. He ain't going to Falcons.
Who throwing it to him? Desmond Ridder. He'll turn Desmond Ridder into a star. He'll be 30.
He ain't going to the Falcons. He wants to win. He don't care about money, I think, at this point. Like, he's going to want to get paid still, but he don't care about money. He think he wants to win. And the other one they have is New England Patriots. Do you know why he's not going to go back to New – or why back? Do you know why he won't go to New England? I don't think anybody thought about this. They mentioned in here. The coordinator is Bill O'Brien. Why would he go back to Bill O'Brien? We saw how that ended. Yeah. What he said, last time I saw somebody like you with that same attitude, he's going to prison now. Referring to Aaron Hernandez. Like, why would he go to the Patriots? So ESPN is out of their mind. You don't need to say 9 teams. Now, is there 9 teams that can use him? Yeah, that can use that type of receiver? Absolutely. But be realistic here.
I would have dropped New England and put Green Bay in there because, like, who do they have at receiver for a young quarterback with Jordan Love that they're trying to, you know, become a number one quarterback? He hasn't proven it. So
I don't understand why there's certain teams in here. Like, why aren't the Jags in here? Like, what's wrong with the Jaguars or what's wrong with the Chargers?
I think it's because they both have number one receivers already, and the Jags already went and spent that money getting Calvin Ridley, and they got his suspension is up.
I forgot
they
about
got him back.
You're right.
So they've already tried to establish that's who they want to be their number one. Who was the other team you named?
I said Chargers.
Bro, you still got Keenan Allen. You just signed Mike Williams again. There's no spot for D-Hop. And the receivers that they did let go, they already replenished some of them in the draft because they need speedy in-slot receivers is what they want. So I don't think there's a place for him there, just not because he's not good enough to be there, but where is he going to fit in? Like, you're not going to tell Keenan Allen, hey, you're going to be a slot receiver, and which I'm sure if he knew they were going to run 3 wide all the time, like they're always going to be a 3 wide set, he'd be fine with that. But like, that ain't always going to be the case for the Chargers, even though they are a throwing team more. I don't see them having a place there, and they got Mike Williams his money and Keenan Allen his money.
If it came down to money, yes, if he's going for money. But
and Justin Herbert his money too, sorry.
My theory is this, is Keenan Allen was injured a lot last year, so that's why he was out for a whole bunch, and so was Mike Williams, and it's like they were throwing to like third strings, fourth strings, which is great, but that's my theory on that. But to put the Falcons in there, like Falcons and Patriots, I just – Who ESPN needs to really check themselves next time they do that. I just don't think that's a good answer at all. But anyhow, if I were Hopkins, I'm looking at a couple teams here.
Off this list or different teams? Not on this list.
No, no, they're on this list.
Okay.
One of them, they just came from the Super Bowl. We got to go with the Chiefs. That has to
no,
be one.
No, not in my division. Not in my division. Not in our division.
Well, you don't want them because the Raiders there, but
yeah, not in our division.
But
no.
If you're looking at it from Hopkins' perspective, because it's his choice, it's what he wants at this point. So you got Chiefs, and then the other team is Bills.
Okay, I'll tell you this. I'm just going to ask you this: receiver, receiving, not the person Pat Mahomes loves to throw to the much. Not I shouldn't say throw to the most, but one of his most trusted weapons, Travis Kelce. We're not counting. We're saying wide receiver position. Who is their number one
for receiver in at Kansas City?
Yes. Who is their number one?
From this report I'm reading, it's going to be at Tooney. They're trying to go. Tooney is going to be their number one.
This sounds bad. D-Hop is an upgrade. Tooney is fast. Yeah. Tooney is electric. He's a good punt returner, kick returner, has good hands. I don't know. I haven't seen him catch too much outside of college. Like we've seen him using gadget play stuff. Ain't no way he better than D-Hop right now. I know he's young. He's sensational. Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
Yeah. So, I agree with you there. And that's why I think he might go there as well.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I agree with you. If he goes there, he's the number one. He's a number one receiver. No, that's my fault. He's a number one receiver if he goes there. I don't want him there because I'm a Raiders fan. And I don't want to see D-Hop shredding a defense. I still don't trust our head coach and what he's doing. Ain't no way you're going to tell me you're going to give Pat Mahomes D-Hop and they're not finna go for three bills on us. Pat Mahomes not going to set a single season NFL record passing wise. He going to have like six passes for 100 yards each. He going to have 600 yards on six completions and they all going to D-Hop. I don't need that in my life.
Oh man. And then for the other place they have high up here is Buffalo, pairing him with Stephon Diggs out there. I just don't want to play in that cold weather. That's my theory on it.
You don't want to
say shaking your head no.
You don't want to go there because no offense, Stephon Diggs is low-key immature. Like when they lose, I get it. You a passionate player, you fiery. But you can't do all this, cause all this friction after y'all lose in regards to, like, I want to be traded or have all these rumors or I'm mad. And we get it. You're a competitor. You're upset. But you got to handle that better. And you already have Gabriel Davis there who showed he was a good receiver. You have McKenzie there who showed he was a good receiver. I don't think the problem is anything to do with their receiving depth or core or talent. It was Josh Allen. Josh Allen just started playing boo-boo at the end of the season. And I don't know, maybe it was his first year in that system. So, he didn't trust his eyes as well as he should have or his reads as well as he could have. But I don't think they need an upgrade at wide receiver. I think Josh Allen just has to play better.
What other places do you have going? Do you have any places that aren't on the ESPN list by chance?
Yes, I have the Rams. And the reason why I chose the Rams is not just because I have to look them over and review them for this season and be a fan of theirs as well. But with Cooper Kupp being the main receiver and doing a lot of his work at every spot, I want to kind of limit Cooper Kupp's catching. I shouldn't say catches, but I want to give him an opportunity not to get so beat up heading into the playoffs. Because last year he was just beat up. He just kept getting beat up. The knee, shoulder, ribs, whatever it was, he just kept getting beat up. I think Matthew Stafford needs a diversified weaponry arsenal. Like, yeah, you got Higbee the tight end, but I don't think he ain't Travis Kelce. Yeah. He ain't Darren Waller. He not none of those tight ends that we can name right now. George Kittle, let me throw him out there because he's dope. Even the dude Juwan Johnson from
Saints.
The Saints, yeah. I think it's Dewan, though, not Jawan. I think I'm mispronounced his name. But
no, he made me pay a couple times last year, so.
Yeah, so. So, I think that going there, they didn't get Odell Beckham Jr. He went to Baltimore. They're looking at the receivers that they have, and they have complementary receivers, they need a star. They need a dude who, I'm not going to say can lead that group, because obviously all those receivers train every year to be a leader. But I think they need a guy who's a veteran, a pro. And I think Matthew Stafford having another version of a Megatron, oh my God. I think that would incentivize him to come back and say, okay, I got somebody who I can just chuck this up to and he'll get it.
Yeah, if it hits Hopkins' hands, he's going to catch it. If it just touches his hands, he's going to touch it. He doesn't drop. I think there was some record he broke for so many passes passed to him without even dropping the ball. They also have on this list, they have the Jets, the Cowboys, the Saints, and
don't go to the Cowboys, because you got to fight about your money. Then you also got to fight with, you know, Dak Prescott about where he trying to go with the pat. Like, don't go over there. You don't need to go over there, dog. You don't need to go over there. you don't even want that headache, dog. You don't even want that headache.
And then they also have wild card teams is the Browns and the Giants
I could see the Browns, because they're doing dumb stuff in regards to giving up. Well, no, I'm sorry, not the Browns. The Browns ain't doing dumb stuff. They're doing smart stuff. They picked up Elijah Moore. They still got, what's his name? Amari Cooper. So that might not be a home for him actually either, because Amari Cooper's number one. Elijah Moore just came from a play. So I would say he's out. Can I throw a team out there?
You know what? This list for my ESPN is shit. I'll say it.
Can I throw two teams out there?
Yeah.
I'll do three. One of them, Seattle Seahawks.
They just went out and got a rookie wide receiver along with DK, and then also Lockett.
Because I was going to say that is an offense that's built to have.
Yeah. No,
multiple receivers be stars. That's a selfless offense with Geno Smith.
So I agree with you, but the fact that they went out and got a wide receiver in the first round pick at the first round,
I get you. I'm saying that was a team that I was looking at. Well, you know, you never know how the first round picks turn out, but another veteran receiver paired with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, I think that's dynamic, because they've always had an offense that's just it's truly a spread offense. It's whoever is open, we're going to get it to you. And I believe DeAnthony Hopkins is better than DK Metcalf. I think DK Metcalf drops a lot of the easy passes. He's a freak athlete, and he makes some spectacular catches, but a lot of the ones he just make and get upfield and he just drops. And so that's me. The other team I'm thinking he should go to, Carolina Panthers.
No,
I like Carolina Panthers.
These are better options than what ESPN was saying.
Yeah, but that's a team that needs a number one. They gave up DJ Moore. They just signed, what's the dude's name? Miles Sanders from Philly. They signed, I want to say there's like a tight end or somebody they signed to an offensive weapon. They need an outstanding receiver. I don't know who they have over there that would be an outstanding receiver. Because you remember when they were playing, it was, what's his name? He was the dude who, I forgot
Anderson?
His name.
Robbie Anderson.
It's not there.
No.
He's not there.
Are you talking about, they have DJ Chark, they have Adam Thielen.
That's who they just got, Adam Thielen. And like, no offense, DJ Chark just came from Detroit.
Yeah.
And he no offense, he didn't really do nothing with them. He was good, but I shouldn't say do nothing. He was good, but he was a complimentary receiver. If you need a star receiver, you pair Adam Thielen with DeAndre Hopkins, because DeAndre Hopkins can be number one. Adam Thielen will be number two. Adam Thielen, as talented as he is, he ain't no D-Hop. And Bryce Young need a guy who, you know what I mean? If you're truly trying to bet on this young quarterback, you start giving him weapons. So D-Hop will retire, but while Bryce Young is coming into his prime, you can say, do we want to spend more money on finding another receiver or getting another receiver?
Yeah.
Because he's shown he can use a number one receiver and take them to upper echelon.
It's unfortunate, like not unfortunate. I know the Raiders right now have Jacoby Myers they signed, and they have Hunter Renfrow, and they have Adams. He would have been a good fit there if they didn't sign Jacoby Myers. I think him and Adams on the side, and then in the slot you have Hunter Renfrow with Austin Hooper as a tight end. But they have three receivers.
I wonder how Devontae Adams would have felt about that. Like, he's never played with another star receiver. He's played with good complimentary receivers.
Yeah.
But he's never played with a dude who's like, hey, man, I'm gonna take some pressure off of you, because if they double you, I'm single. Yeah. If they double me, you're facing a one-on-one, which you probably have gotten less in your career, less and less as you become a star receiver.
I think we're we're saying signing these teams before the season starts. I think maybe he's got the option to wait till the season starts as well, and then see how it plays out. Injuries happen.
You got to learn the playbook late. You got to do a bunch of stuff late. You want to get with a team as soon as possible.
I mean, that is facts. That is facts. But at the same time, like, he could to see how these things play.
He has option.
Because if he wants a ring chase, which is completely fine, I think that's great for him. He's got his money already. Go ring chase and then figure out what team's going to be in it, what injuries happen, and so on and so forth. Because that's going to happen in football.
You're very true. Very true.
All right. Let's go to the next topic, Irv.
Personals real quick. Cam, is the 90s styles, the 90s style is making a comeback. What are your thoughts?
I had no clue it was making a comeback, Irv.
I'm fine with it coming back. Like, you'll start to see it, because it's the bright colors and the different headbands and stuff. Like, I've seen a lot of it here where I live, which makes me laugh. But on the same token, y'all got to get it right. Some of y'all youngsters coming out here, you was born in 2000, whatever, trying to rock the 90s wear, and you look foolish. You're not wearing the sweatsuits right. You're not wearing the headbands and the other stuff right. You're not matching the colors correctly. The 90s wasn't ugly, okay? It was bright colors. It was colors that you put together to, you know, coordinate different pieces. But it wasn't trash, doo-doo, ugly. Like, one girl I saw, me and my wife, she had, like a pink pants on, like pink jeans with this, like, limey green shirt. Mm-hmm. And she thought she was being, like, retro 90s. That's not 90s. That's just ugly. You don't have no headband, no stockings. You don't have no wrist breath. You don't have nothing that go with it that was that flair, that swag. You just looking terrible. Just terrible. I saw a dude, he tried to have, you know, remember the 90 jumpsuits? The 90s when they had the cold jumpsuits, and they was bright colored, but they were cold. He had mismatching ones. And I was like, there's a reason why it was LaFlame and LaFlair, is because it matched. Now you got these black pants on with this jumpsuit jacket, and you got you trying to wear the visor glasses, like the mirror ones, the big ones. And you got a little mullet, but you missing the whole pants, shoes, and you know what I mean? Pants, shoes, a little chain or something to go. Y'all wrecking the flair. If you gonna bring it back, bring it back. But don't try to, oh, I'm modernizing it, or I'm giving it an update. No, no, no. You silly. You're making this look bad. You're making it look bad. Do the 90s right. I'm an 87, baby. Do the 90s right, because those people that was in the 90s, I was rocking it with the ponytail to the side and the double pony knot. They're getting disrespected. They get disrespected. When you had the cold kid in play where it was the eraser haircut and they kept it lined up, getting disrespected. Getting disrespected.
All right, Herb, hit us with the promotions.
All right, promotions. You can find all these promotions on IG. We got Bryce Sinclair at the Spicy Diaper for all your comedy needs. Yes, he has not been penalized, as in gone to prison yet, and this account is still active. Hit my man up. We got Rosemary Shipling at I Got Your Back Neuro for all your massage therapy needs. We got Sean Tuck at Sean Tuck Music. We got Darville Williams. Ooh, I almost couldn't read my own writing. We got Darville Williams at Darville W Financial for all your life insurance needs. If you need life insurance, I'm stressing it, he's registered in Idaho and in California. Please hit him up or hit me up. Get you some generational wealth started. I know it sounds bad, but you don't want to leave your family with a bill. You want to leave them with something so they can carry on and continue to generate wealth and take care of themselves when you're gone. We got Jay at Cuts by Jay out in Reno. If you need a lineup, beard trim, all of that, I'm going to get mine done, Cam. You know what I mean? This Monday, I'm debating if I want to look like a supervillain, if I want to cut all the side off and keep the goat and keep the little flavor saver and like the mustache kind of thick. But keep all this cut off, so you got that, like, he could be a villain, he could be a hero, anti-villain, you never know, look. Or if I'm going to just cut it all off and just be a straight villain. Because I can't, you know, we talked about it, you got to keep a mustache. You can't trust a man without a mustache. So, I don't know, I'm thinking about it. We got Jazz at on Bookie's app. If you need her app information, she can hit you up. Or you can hit her up in regards to getting your hair twisted, braided, kids' hair, she does. So, hey, she's out there in Reno. Let me know and I can hook you up with her. We got Anna Slusher at Anna Slusher. She's a photographer and co-founder of FKA Magazine. Their website is www.fkamagazine.com. If you're a model, if you're a painter, if you're a sculptor, whatever within the arts, hit her up. She's in LA. She'd probably love to film, shoot with you. She's grown in popularity, so continue to grow. Great job, all that cool stuff. I don't really know the artsiness like that. My wife do, so I kind of turn to her. I'm logical. She's creativity in this house. We got Juan Pina at JP_exclusive picks. Now, this is what I like. This is the logic part. Hit him up. If you're trying to do sports bets, if you're trying to get your money right, if you're just trying to say, hey, you know what? I've been struggling, you know, making the right picks, going off of certain little things. If you need a little assistance, hit him up. For that small fee, he can help you get right.
All right, that's going to do it for promotions this week. Movie of the week, Irv.
So it's not really a movie of the week because like, I still got to watch, what is it, Shazam, Fury of the Gods, and whatever that other one is. Oh, Ant-Man, Quantumania. I got to watch both those still. They just came out on streaming services, so I'm going to go ahead and check those out today. But I want to talk about Lil Dicky Season 2. Dave.
All right.
Like,
all right.
Dave is funny as all outdoors. It's got some real good moments in it. Cam, you haven't checked out season two yet, right?
No, I have not. I heard it's not as good as the first two.
It's not as good, but it's still pretty, it's entertaining still. It's not to the point where, like, there's certain parts that I question. I'm not going to say on here. We can talk off air about it because it's about the male genitalia jokes that keep getting told. And it's like, at some point, those have run their course. Like, you said it all through the first season. It's starting to show up again in the second season. We don't really need it. You have more content than that. But there's some funny episodes in regards to choices that he makes, the way he feels, and just obviously, you know, Lil Dicky or Dave, as the show is called. Just how can I put it? When someone, like, it's like, I don't know if any of you guys have a friend like this, because I don't, but like, someone is so creative that common sense just don't make sense no more. Like, everything has to be. Like everything has to be overly creative, overly done. Like, some people have that frame where it's like, you know, we just trying to go eat here, but it's like, oh, before we eat here, like, these are the colors of the restaurant, so I'm trying not to match the restaurant, and I'm trying to, you're like,
nah,
why are you overcomplicating
us? Those people annoy me, so I don't hang out with them. I don't have time for that.
I've worked with a couple people like that, but I don't have anyone like that. So it's kind of like that. It's like the show has some moments where he's overcomplicating it, but it makes it funny. Also, I'm going to preview a new show next week that's on Disney Plus. It's super funny. It's one of those shows. It's a Muppet show. I'm still getting through the first season, so let me get through the first season, and then we'll talk about it.
All right. All right, everybody. All right. That's going to do it for this week's episode 107. Irv, any kind words before we head on out?
Yeah, man, just take care of one another. Take care of one another. Take care of yourself. That's really about it. Just, you know, it's a lot going on in the world, man, a lot. So let's just show some good, what is it called? Show some humanity towards one good another, karma. Some kindness. Yeah, good karma, some kindness, whatever you want to say, positive energy, good vibes, positive vibes. Just share that with somebody. Do something nice, not because you want something, but because you're just, hey, pass this along to somebody else, that feeling of doing something nice and doing something because you want to do it.
All right, everybody, thank you again for tuning in. We'll catch you all next week. Make sure you make somebody smile. All right, bye.
Nice work.